So the first World Cup is actually in Hintertux, where we are training in Austria, and that kicks off on the 1st of December.
Okay, and by the time 1st of December comes around, because of the training gradually increasing, are you pretty much in peak condition?
Yeah, you're ready to race by that point. You are ready to race, but because that particular World Cup is out on a limb a little bit, because it's in December, and then I guess the rest of the circuit continues on from January until March, I tend to have physical prep help me towards achieving and carrying on through that main block of races. But it's still important to be ready for the first race as well.
And once that, you mentioned there's a gap then, but before the next one in January, so do you come home this year for Christmas, or do you stay out there? We have the annual Christmas chat coming up.
always home for Christmas. It doesn't feel the same abroad, I don't think. I like to be home with my family actually on Christmas Day, but I tend to fly back to the Alps quite soon after Christmas, and it's nice to know that I'll be at home for Christmas.
You say it doesn't feel the same at home, but if you go to jazztelemark.com and look at your latest blog, you've put up photographs of your chalet in Hintertux, and it looks absolutely amazing.
Oh, it's epic.
I want to take Radio Suffolk Sport to Hintertux. We're going to do a programme from there.
Yeah, you should. The guy, his name's Tim, actually. It's his chalet. He's British. And actually, in our ski room, it's not our ski room, it's actually his brewery. He has this craft brewery where he brews beers, and he has allocated beers for different pieced colours. So a red one, so a red pieced for like a raspberry beer, and just various flavours matched with various piece colours. So it's quite a trendy setup. It's quite cool to, they've got these massive machines in the basement, so we can smell beer when we're prepping skis.
You've got like really, really, really nice kitchen, and the beer's in the basement below.
Yeah, it's ideal. It's literally the ski holiday dream. I just wish that sometimes we're on holiday rather than training 8 hours a day.
Last season was very, very successful for you. I think when you were here in the summer, did we establish that are you in the top five now? Is it, you have a world ranking of five? Is that right?
I'm currently fourth.
Fourth?
Yeah. But last year was fifth, but now moved fourth. But yeah, I had a good season actually.
What were the lasting memories from last season then? What did you take away from you?
The World Championships. My one goal last season was to have a medal at the World Championships, and I achieved that. But of course, the World Championships were at the very end of the season, so I couldn't really get to that goal while I was competing in the World Cups. So I guess my successes in the World Cups were just an added bonus. It's kind of how it felt, which in a way took the pressure off. So be interesting to see how this season compares.
That's what I'm getting to now, and you've been very good at kind of not giving me an answer to this question in recent years, but what would constitute a good season for Jasmine Taylor between now and next April?
That's a good question.
I've worded it slightly differently because I'm trying to get an answer out of you.
You are. I actually don't know the answer. I think
it's not good enough.
You want like a
I want you to say something. I want to be number one by the end of the season. Or is that too ambitious?
I think we all want that. We all want to be the best, don't we? I would like to be more mentally efficient. I think I spend too much energy worrying about things that are not important, like all of us probably, but I would like to eradicate that from my performance or their lack of. So I think that's something I'm working towards. And I would like to have, like this bubble persona, where I'm not touchable. You can't get to me because I'm so focused, if that makes sense. And I've only really achieved that a few times. So to do that every race would be the goal.
Is it possible?
Yeah, always, but not easy.
obviously last season was your most successful to date, Jazz. We've established that. And when you are, well, we've talked previously about the fact that maybe you going abroad, maybe you're competing on the Telemark calendar wouldn't be possible without a growing number of sponsors and without some individuals as well. So do you get to hear of what they make of you, your races when you're out there, and I guess how grateful are you for them?
I'm super grateful. I have so many sponsors that I'm forever indebted to, and yeah, like you said, it wouldn't be possible without their support. People like well, my university where I study, University of Suffolk, that's a great place to be and just the most supportive place as far as being a student's concerned. I couldn't ask for better. My psychologist, Manos Georgiadis, who works there, and in Colchester as well, my physiotherapist from Alistair Jones from Colchester Physiotherapy, and the guys at CrossFit in Ipswich, just been fantastic. The facility there is just brilliant for training. There are so many people to thank and mention, but I'd probably be here all day.
That's nice though, isn't it? Because when we first started previewing your seasons, it must be about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago now, maybe even longer, you did have some sponsors and some partners, but the list wasn't as long as it is now.
No, I've been very lucky.
And I gather that the Telemark's governing body are after a potential sponsor. We're seeing more and more events streamed now throughout mm-hmm. the year. Mm-hmm. And just tell us about what sounds like a very promising opportunity on paper with regards to sponsoring. This is a magazine, a showreel of the sport, is that mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, we have quite a hefty project. So each Telemark World Cup stage will be, well, every day will be live streamed. That will happen no matter what. But the idea is we put together a package, like a programme, a half-hour programme, and that will be kind of like bought and sold and negotiated with, I think, approximately 36 different channels all across Europe and America. Channels such as BT Sport and Sky Sport. That will be broadcast, so Telemark will be showcased to the world. Mm. But to do that, we need cash. And usually people like to have something in return for their cash, but in this case we have the opportunity to provide advertising on the start gate, on banners down the side of the course, on the finish gate, adverts within the actual showreel itself and on the live stream. And just to give an idea, on the Facebook Olympic channel last year we had one event streamed, and that generated 2.1 million views, and actually 500,000 people watched the entire race from the beginning to the end.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was mad. And in Germany we beat all the ratings on ski jumping, and yeah, we were competing with ski jumping. Ski jumping was on the main channel, we were on the you know, equivalent of BBC Two rather yeah. than one, and we had I think 3.5 or 7 million views there as well in Germany, the same in Norway on their main channels. But we need to reach out to the non-Alpine nations like us and push it here as well.
Mm. So insert company or individual's name on the start gate and on the finish gate, and what an opportunity that could potentially yeah. be. You're talking about some of the numbers there, indicating that the sport continues to grow. Mm-hmm. We're constantly talking about Telemark perhaps being recognised as a Winter Olympic sport at some point. Whether you were to compete at a future Winter Games or not, you must feel like you've been on quite a journey with the sport. And when it does happen, like I say, whether you're there or not, it would be a very proud moment for you.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I would love to see the sport become Olympic. And I guess this showreel is in a way a progression towards that. It's not make or break, but it is definitely something we need to do as a sport. We need to up our exposure and have more people talking about it and seeing it, because I feel like as soon as people do, they enjoy it and they like to know what's happening and why are the bindings like that, and they're jumping, now they're skating, now they're skiing, and I think it's really entertaining. It's a good spectator sport.